This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
The greatest way to soul win is situational soul winning. Oh, yeah. Just take advantage of the situation. It's not hard. Just be who you are in Christ. And if you have had some rough time, use it as a tool to share it with somebody. You didn't go through what you went through for no reason at all. You went through what you went through because God gonna take the same stuff you went through and introduce you to somebody who's going through the same thing, and now you're gonna be very equipped to minister to that people and bring them out of darkness into the marvelous light. This is what Jesus is concerned about, how we treat one another and not us walking around self-righteous.
Get ready for change. The message of grace is coming to a city near you. Join Creflo Dollar in Los Angeles, California on January 27th and Houston, Texas on February 23rd and 24th. Seating is limited, so register now. Log on to www.creflodollarministries.org to check out the full 2023 Change Experience Tour schedule. Pick up your phone and call the number on your screen or scan the QR code right now to register. See you in your city.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. And we're going to continue along the same lines we were last night, dealing with the righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ, and really move into some things that I think will really help you out a lot. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, he says, For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, when we look at this, we see he's telling us about the immaturity factor, that you're immature until you understand the life of righteousness by faith. You're immature, you're still on milk until you understand the life of righteousness, which is by faith and not by works, or not by your doing things as you disregard God. We've got to be careful not to marry methods to the point where we're not regarding God. You need God. You need God with everything you're gonna do, everything you're thinking about doing, everything you're praying about doing. You're going to need God. Don't ever think you don't need God. And there's something that happens when God knows you need Him. Well, here he says, you're on milk until you come to the place of understanding this righteousness, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, that you are righteous because of Jesus. You're not righteous because of what you do. You are righteous because of what He has done and your faith in that. You have been made righteous because of what Jesus has done. You are not becoming righteous. Before Jesus died, righteousness was achieved through our good works. It was achieved, and we were justified by doing good things. It was our performance and doing this and being declared that we were justified based on what we do. But after Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the dead, it is now Jesus who is our righteousness, and we are now righteous because of Him. It is His righteousness that we have. So as long as Jesus is all right, We all right.
All right.
And that's the deal. It's not you're not all right because of something, you know, you did, or you're not all right because of something you didn't do. The only way you're going to be not right or not all right is somehow Jesus, you know, is not all right. He's all right. He's going to be all right. As long as he's all right, I'm right. And that's what you tell yourself when the enemy's speaking to you and say, oh, you're not right anymore. You're like, Jesus? He say, I'm still righteous. You say, I'm still righteous. That's where our righteousness is based on. Now, when you say things like that, and this is the foundation, Brother Copeland said to me last night, it's the center point. It is this place where the enemy is going to be working overtime, trying to get you to denounce that part of your identity. And there's just so much involved in it. You're righteous because he has been made and he is your righteousness. Now, let me see. I want to get into this. I don't want to spend too time. Let's go to Romans 4, verses 1 through 8. Romans 4 in the NLT. Romans 4, verses 1 through 8. I think this bears repeating. We need to really see this. Abraham, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation, what did he discover about being made right or righteous with God? What did he discover? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. And that may be an issue in the church today. We're still doing things so we can have something to boast about. When you know God did it, there is no boasting. But if somehow you are taking credit for what was done, you need to go and check that out. If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. Verse 3. For the scripture tells us, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Abraham's belief, he was accounted righteous because of his faith. Now, let me make a statement here. So if the blessing of righteousness, if the blessing of God is a reward for good behavior, if the blessings of God is a reward for good behavior. If you are righteous because of good behavior, then we get the credit for earning it. If you're righteous because of something you did, if you're righteous for your good behavior, we should give you the credit because you did something to earn it. But if the blessing is a gift and you receive it as a gift, then Jesus gets the credit. So you got to decide. Now, I want you to know I'm setting you up for something big. I'm setting you up, boy. Last night I just landed a busy week, and I was a little tired, and we made it through. Everything went all right, but I got my Wheaties this morning, boy. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna set you up, because a lot of church folks don't understand you. You're giving yourself too much credit. You're thinking it's your good behavior. You're thinking it's what you do. You're thinking all that, and you it's almost like you're saying that Jesus is not enough. He is enough. He is enough all by himself. He's enough. He doesn't need me to be God. He doesn't need me to be who he is. But we do need him to be who we are. He is the way. He's the way in. He's the way out. Shoot, let me go and say it like I want to. He the gate, baby. He's enough. Amen. Say that. Say he's enough. And so if the blessing is a gift, if righteousness is a gift, if the redemption is a gift, then Jesus gets the credit. But if your behavior and your good deeds. If you got it that way, then we ought to be giving you the credit. I don't want no credit. Listen, even if you get to heaven and you get the crown of righteousness and the crown of the soul winner and all that stuff, honey, the only thing you can do with those crowns is cast them at the feet of Jesus, because you know without him, you were not able to get the job done. Amen. So we talked about that last night. We talked about righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ. And then we went on from there and we began to define self-righteousness. Now, self-righteousness is very interesting, because self-righteous people, first of all, they compare themselves amongst themselves, and the Bible says that's not good to do. But self-righteous people kind of, they want to be up here. And you say, well, you're not perfect. They say, well, I know I'm not perfect, but at least I didn't do what they did. You see, you heard they committed adultery. You know, I've been married for 55 years, and you heard they committed adultery. You heard they got a divorce. Now, somehow, you're making yourself more right as you compare yourself with somebody else, and always in a position of wanting to shame somebody else to make you look good. In fact, I found out that critical people are critical because they have the eye of envy. You know what makes a person critical? Envy. Envy is a sickening feeling at the promotion of somebody else. Some folks can't even show you their new house because you choke by the time you walk through the door. There's a motivation behind why we do what we do. Why is it that we're still trying to be like God, but we don't want God? Why is it that somehow or another self-righteousness seems to show up way too much in our lives as Christians? Self-righteousness just simply is this, and I want to just keep it at this point. It's striving, sweating, and working hard to get right with God. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and 4 in the New Living Translation. Galatians 5 and 4. It's striving to get right with God. This righteousness we talked about last night is the righteousness that comes because we have faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. But when you're striving to become righteous, think about some of the things you have done to try to become righteous. Galatians 5 and 4 says, for if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. And notice that here he talks about you falling from grace doesn't mean falling into sin. Falling from grace means falling back into self-performance. Self-righteousness. That's what it means. And I don't think we understand that. Do you wake up every day of your life depending and knowing that you need God in order to be who you are and in order to do what God has called you to do? Now, we compared self-righteousness with religion. Religion is the same thing as self-righteousness. It's man's pursuit to make himself right before God. Man's pursuit to make himself right with God. Think about that for a moment. What have I been doing to try to make myself right with God? What is my pursuit? Religion, man's pursuit to make himself right with God. So you got to get this straight, because if Satan can come and put a crack in your righteousness and you start doubting it, then a lot of things can come in through that crack. Your righteousness and your faith in Jesus has got to stand the test of this time. I am the righteousness of God, not because of what I have done, but because of what he has done, and he is still right. And that'll kind of help you stay away from it. Now, what happens? As you maintain that identity of righteousness, from righteousness, wisdom comes. From righteousness, even protocol, God will tell you what to do from that. From righteousness, that things that begin to happen. But You know, you it's more than going around and say, well, I'm righteous. And somebody says, why? Well, I hadn't missed church in 2 years. Oh, God. No, you're not righteous because of what you don't do. Watch this. Neither are you still righteous because of what you do. You're righteous because of Him. I guess I'm trying, let me say it again like this. We don't bring anything to the table. And I know that freaks you out because you take great pride in your performance as a Christian. You take great pride in sitting people down and say, now here's what happened. I did bam, 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 bam. That's why I'm right with God. You're right with God because of Jesus. Take Him out of the picture, you're nothing. And so, let's look at Luke 18 one more time, and then I think I'll be starting almost kind of like. Luke 18, 9 through 14. I want to read this self-righteous dude. I want you to see what this looks like. Self-righteousness. I told you yesterday, self-righteousness, you know, this guy says, I'm so holy. I'm holy. I am holy. Well, why are you holy? Because I don't drink vodka. And like I said, but you tan that gin up, ain't you? I am holy. I don't use profanity. I am holy. I don't listen to rated R music. I'm holy. I don't look at R-rated movies. I'm holy. I don't even look at my naked body when I get out of the shower. I am holy. I am holy. Now you are self-righteous. Here's the thing we got to get in the church. Here's the thing we got to get in the church. And it's almost like you're scared to do it. You can't allow yourself to get to the place where you deceive yourself into thinking that you're flawless. You have an issue just like everybody else has an issue. Everybody in this house got an issue. Everybody. Everybody in the house got an issue. Everybody in the house got an issue. Everybody. Every preacher in the pulpit got an issue. Everybody. Every singer on the praise team got an issue. Everybody. And that's why everybody need a Savior. Because everybody got an issue, you need a Savior. And Jesus is the Savior that you need. If you didn't have an issue, it just irks me when I see, you know, when you're judging somebody, you're like saying, you ain't got no issues. And we know that's not true. Well, I've never done this to my wife, and I've never treated this, and I've never done that. But you give that waitress at the restaurant a whole lot of hell because she didn't bring you the right drink. You got an issue with that waitress. And we're so busy trying to please God when you don't understand the number one thing that God is most concerned about is how we treat one another. That's what He's concerned about. He's not concerned about how you pray for 3 hours a day if you're not treating people right. Getting mighty quiet in this Catholic church here. What's going on? You sit up in a believers' convention and you've been in a 2-year unforgiveness assault against your mama. Everybody in the house got it. He's concerned about how we treat one another. Oh, y'all don't like me now, do you? Yeah, but the Bible tells me to do this and do that, and the Greek of that means this, and of course that means that. I don't care. I care about how you're treating your brother and how you're treating your sister. And you don't get caught up in the norms and values of this world. You're not going to allow a spirit of racism to come over you because you are a Christian and you learn to love your brother and sister not because of the color of their skin. You love them because that's your brother and sister, and you're going to treat them right, and you're going to treat them like the Word says, and you're not going to allow any historical racism to come up in you. I don't care what color you are. I'm talking all of you, black, white, all of you. You ain't going to let none of that stuff come up in you because you want God in you to be seen, and so you can be a living epistle, because they ain't reading the Bible, so they're going to read your life, and when they see you, they're going to see how you treat one another, and they're going to know that you're saved. But it's kind of hard to tell if some people say, because, I mean, you act like a Christian when you come to Believers' Convention, but how do you treat your brother and sister when you get at home? What's going on at home? I want to hear all that stuff. I want to walk in love. And sometimes walking in love demands that you walk in love, and it's not comfortable, and it's... Walking in love with somebody that just been talking about you. Walking in love in the middle of betrayal. Yep. Walking in love when your children do stupid stuff. Walking in love, you just got to keep doing it. It ain't like they're going to divorce you and get a new daddy. Amen. How do you treat one another? I wasn't planning on talking about that. But that need to be said. We got to learn how to be intimate with God and spend time with God and let the God that we're spending time with flow through us. So then we go to that restaurant and minister to that waitress. Man, I remember we went to Cracker Barrel. A group of us went to Cracker Barrel one morning. And this young lady, she was having a hard time. She was tired, and you can tell. And so, you know, she came up there, "Can I help you?" I'm like, "Woo. How you doing?" And she went on and everything, and we got together, and I said, let's bless her. She's probably just tired and needs something. And so we got together. We decided we're going to give her a $500 tip. Okay. So she came in, and we just started talking to her, you know, and talking about Jesus and that, you know, how we appreciate you so much taking the time to serve us today, and we love you, and can we pray with you and all that. And she looked at me and said, "Y'all must be church people." I like that, right? Right? I like that. And so I folded the money up tight and just put it in her hands. She didn't see it. And then she went back in the kitchen, and I heard this loud noise. I said, "I think she just opened her hand." She came back out crying. And she said, I just needed a break. I just needed some money to pay this light bill. I didn't know where it was gonna come from. And y'all, thank you. Thank you. Now watch this. Thank you. Can I get you anything else?" Now you got good service coming. You understand what I'm saying? The greatest way to soul win is situational soul winning. Just take advantage of the situation. It's not hard. Just be who you are in Christ. And if you have had some rough time, use it as a tool to share it with somebody. You didn't go through what you went through for no reason at all. You went through what you went through because God gonna take the same stuff you went through and introduce you to somebody who's going through the same thing, and now you're gonna be very equipped to minister to that people and bring them out of darkness into the marvelous light. This is what Jesus is concerned about, how we treat one another and not us walking around self-righteous. That ain't it. Where that scripture at? Okay. Oh, I'm still in my introduction. Okay. What time we gotta be out here? Y'all got to help me. Just tell me so we won't be here till 6 o'clock. Help me now, because I feel like talking today. My God. I feel like talking, preaching, laying hands on the sick, casting out all kinds of devils. Praise God. Stomping on devils, fighting folks who possess with devils. They're going to come out one way or another. Glory be to God.
Do you work hard to make yourself presentable to God? Does it feel like a losing battle? Well, the struggle is over. In his series, The Difference Between Righteousness and Self-Righteousness, Creflo Dollar teaches that no one can make themselves righteous. It is Jesus Christ who provides life-saving solutions. All three messages can be yours for a love gift of $20 for CDs or $30 for DVDs. Scan the QR code, visit our e-store at CreflodollarMinistries.org, or call the number on your screen to get yours before they run out.
You can interact with Creflo Dollar Ministries anytime, anywhere. All of this is at your fingertips with our state-of-the-art custom-designed app. With the broadcast feature, you can access your favorite messages, sermon series, and more. Add events to your calendar, set reminders, get directions, share with friends, and even give securely through this platform. Visit CreflodollarMinistries.org/app or text APP to 51555 today.
The Bible teaches us to give generously with a cheerful heart, not out of necessity, but out of a cheerful heart. And that's why I'm so grateful for the friends and partners of this ministry who freely and cheerfully give financial offerings to support us. You understand our vision. You know that when people understand grace, they're empowered to change their lives for the better. Thank you for supporting us with your financial donations. And every time you give, you're being used by God to stop misfortune in someone else's life. And for that, we say thank you. God bless you.
If you want to honor the Lord by sowing financial seeds into Creflo Dollar Ministries, call the number on your screen or log on to CreflodollarMinistries.org.
Join us online as we bring you praise and worship from the World Changers Church family and the Word of God from Pastors Creflo Dollar and Taffy Dollar. For more information, visit us at CreflodollarMinistries.org.
Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.
The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.